Hey everybody, welcome to the Toowoomba Vineyard Church podcast. We are a brand new church here in Toowoomba, Queensland, and we are discovering the joy of following Jesus together. If you want to find out more about what we're up to, stick around at the end for the details. But in the meantime, we hope you enjoy this message.
I want to start by being a little bit reflective with all together. And I'm going to put a bunch of words up on the screen. And I want to ask you a really simple question. What three words would you pick that describe how you've been feeling for most of this year? Now, the words on the screen, I know they're a bit small. We're going to get a projector that's going to go here. It's going to be much bigger. But in the meanwhile, you have that. But they don't have to be words that are on the screen. I've got kind of the more negative ones over on the left. I've got the kind of middle ones in the middle, and I've got the really good ones over there on the right. But I want to just take a moment and think, what are three words that would describe how you've been feeling for most of this year? Give you just one more moment. Try and include one good one. That'd be good. Right, we're not going to make you share what your words were. And if you haven't finished the exercise, that's okay. You can do that later. I'd encourage you to do that. But I just want a quick show of hands. Did anyone include the word peace in their year? Yeah, we've got one. That's one more than I expected, to be really honest. So that's awesome, David. Well done, mate. You're an inspiration to the rest of us. Jen, you can go to the next slide. But I wanted to do that exercise because this word peace is really interesting. And I think the fact that only one of us chose peace as a word that describes how I've been feeling this year, first of all, I think it says something about the state of our lives in modern times, right? Like I talked about this a few weeks ago, and I don't want to bang on about it, but we live in a world that expects us to be busy. We live in a world where the default state of being is not peaceful. And if you are peaceful, it's probably because you're lazy. Well, that's the assumption anyway. I'm not saying that you're lazy, David. I'm really sorry, mate. But that's kind of the assumption, is if you're experiencing peace, there must be something wrong with you. The other thing that I wanted to draw out of this little exercise is the fact that many of us here in the room would call ourselves Christians. And in Isaiah 9:6, Jesus is described as the Prince of Peace. And so if Jesus is the Prince of Peace and many of us are Christians, then why is peace not part of our experience? Maybe it would have been number four on your list. I don't know. Maybe it was a problem with the exercise. But the point is, if Jesus is the Prince of Peace, then how does we experience that peace? Like, how does that actually happen in our lives? We have been, for the last 4 weeks in church, going through Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, which I'm going to put up on the screen here. And gosh, it's very washed out, isn't it? The colours were important, but you can't see that, so that's all right. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So there are four titles that are ascribed, not to Jesus the adult, but Jesus the child. And for the last few weeks, we've been talking about what does it mean that Jesus is a wonderful counselor? What does it mean that he's a mighty God? What does it mean that he's the everlasting father? And today we're finishing up by talking about Jesus being the Prince of Peace. And so we're going to dig in, like Laura did last week, using a psalm. So if you have a Bible handy or a phone handy and you'd like to follow along, start turning now to Psalm 46, and we're going to read that together in a moment. That as you're turning there, something that I'm very passionate about is helping people understand that context really matters when we read the Bible. If you take one verse of the Bible, its meaning can totally change depending on what comes before it and what comes after it. And this is one of my favorite examples of that in all Scripture. This is like one of my massive hobby horse passages. If you have been around church or churches for a little while, you might have come across this verse that says, "Be still and know that I am God." Now, if you punch that into Google, I want to have a look at some of the images that will come up for the verse, be still and know that I'm God. So first of all, we have, I'm just going to go over here so I'm not blocking anyone's view. First of all, we have, be still and know that I'm God. We have calm, crystal clear water. We have like a beautiful fade from blue up to orange. We have a sunset. And it's beautiful, beautiful image. Thanks, Bible Gateway. Next, we have, be still and know that I'm God. We have watercolor flowers, which are, I love watercolor, by the way, so I'm all about watercolor flowers. We have curly fonts. Oh, hey, Davy, I will watch out. Is that a flying city?
No.
What is it?
It's an alien spaceship.
An alien spaceship. It's pretty cool. Very appropriate for church. I love it. So, yeah, we have curly fonts. We have watercolor flowers. It's really peaceful, right? And then this next one is by far my favorite. As a graphic designer, we have papyrus, which everyone knows is the most peaceful of fonts. Be still and know that I'm God. We have like an interesting orange filter over a kind of barren landscape, but it's still kind of beautiful. So thanks, My Daily Inspiration, for that. Now, if you have something like this on your wall at home, don't throw it out. It's okay, because when we talk about peace, there is a kind of peace that is like this, where all of the distractions have gone away, where all of the things that are bothering us, where we get out into nature, find a quiet moment where it isn't like this outside, and we experience peace. It's kind of the absence of any sort of trouble. So don't throw it out just yet. I'm not saying that you're not allowed to interpret this verse this way, but when you read it in context, it comes across a bit differently. So if you got your Bible handy, you've had heaps of time. We're going to read all of Psalm 46 together. I'll read from the NIV. So don't freak out if your version's a bit different. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. It reads a little bit differently in context, doesn't it? What are some of the key words that come out in that psalm, or phrases that we get in that psalm? Well, we have mountains crumbling into the sea. We have waters roaring and foaming. We have nations in uproar. We have kingdoms falling. We have the earth melting. We have bows breaking, spears shattering. And we have, literally, it says, burn the shields with fire. So it's pretty dramatic, right? It's not a very peaceful piece of scripture. And so when God says, be still and know that I'm God, it's not like he's kind of whispering it gently in our ear by a quiet lake. It's like that. Perfectly timed. Thank you, Lord. It's like he's on the battlefield and he gets a megaphone. He's like, everyone, stop. Like, stop fighting for your own glory. Be still and know that I am God. It's like he's yelling it. And so it comes across quite differently, doesn't it? I have, just as a graphic designer, as someone who cares about these things and fonts, I've decided to remake some of the image, the Be Still and Know That I've God images, using the help of generative AI. So I put in a few of some of the language that we find in here to try and generate what I think these images should look like instead. So here's our first one. Be still and know that I am God. So we have foaming, roaring waters. I got it to do it in watercolor because I said I like watercolor. We have mountains falling into the sea. We have a tiny little boat just trying to kind of stay afloat. And we have fire in the background. It's kind of, it's the feeling you get from the psalm, isn't it? This is the kind of language that we get in context. Okay, my next one is I got to do it in an anime style. So we have a battle here. So this is what it thinks spears shattering looks like, which it didn't quite capture what I had in my head. But we've got fire. We have the stars falling from the sky. We have these kind of really scary looking guys fighting on a battlefield that's all red for some reason. And although I'm not super comfortable with that image, but it kind of, I don't think it's inaccurate relative to the psalm, is it? So I've got one more for you. This is what nations crumbling looks like, according to generative AI. So we've got, you know, we've got lightning up in the sky. We've got this ancient city that's kind of collapsing down off its mountain into a desolate, barren landscape. And it's pretty dramatic, isn't it?
I think there's some stuff that's
flying off the city as it's hit by lightning there. And so when next time someone says, be still and know that I'm God, maybe think of this instead of what we saw before. When we put the two next to each other, though, the reason I wanted to go to all these lengths to kind of illustrate this passage is because I think that we actually get two different kinds of peace illustrated really well. The first is the kind of peace which is, it's the Christian hope, is this kind of peace where God returns and he makes all things new and everything is as it should be. There is a wonderful promise of peace that God has for us in the future. And every now and then, when we make time, when we carve out time, when we go away, we can experience that peace. That's the absence of trouble. But next to that, I think we get another picture of peace, which is much less about the absence of something, it's more about the presence of something. The other kind of peace is when we, in the midst of all of the madness of the nations crumbling and the spears shattering and burning shields with fire that happens in our lives, in the midst of all of that, we can invite Jesus into that and we can actually choose to experience peace while that's all still happening. And so I think the other kind of Christian peace is less a feeling that we get when everything's right, and it's more of a decision that we make to live as people of peace. And as we come back to Isaiah 9:6, in what way is Jesus the Prince of this kind of peace? Well, I think the story of Jesus' arrival perfectly illustrates that. You know, when we think, I often wonder why we have these origin stories of Jesus included in the Bible. Now, there's a whole lot, as Nancy so beautifully illustrated this morning, there's a whole lot of ways in which prophecy is fulfilled through Jesus' arrival. So that's awesome. We love that. But, you know, if Jesus wanted to, he could have shown up as an adult. You know, he could have descended from the sky, you know, with trumpets and clouds and angels, and people would have taken him pretty seriously if that happened. You know, if he wanted a more humble entrance, he could have just sort of arrived on the scene as an adult and had a mysterious past, and it would have been really interesting to kind of speculate. But that's not what we get. We get Jesus' arrival as a child. And I think his arrival so beautifully illustrates the kind of peace that we've been talking about. You know, Jesus, he arrived in the world in the midst of absolute chaos. He arrived to the Roman occupation of the Jewish nation. He arrived in the midst of a genocide of infants. He was born to lower class refugees. He was born in a pretty backwater kind of a town, and he was born in a stable because there was no room at the inn. And yet, this is the way, I don't think any of this was an accident. I think if there's one thing we learn from this story, and there are many, but if there's one thing we learn about peace from this story, is that God is still God in the midst of chaos. He's still God in the midst of our mess. And so the best way that I can think to describe the Christian understanding of peace, it's not so much about the absence of trouble, but it's more about the presence of the Prince of Peace in our lives. I want to finish by sharing a story of one of the very famous Christmas carols we sing, because I think it's another beautiful illustration of the fact that we can actually choose peace in the midst of chaos, which many parents of three-year-olds will know. So the year is 1818, and the place is a beautiful Austrian village, which is, I think, two slides ahead. There we go. It's pretty, isn't it? The place is a beautiful Austrian village called Obendorf. Now, in this period of time, they've just come out of the Napoleonic Wars, and so they have experienced war in some of its most extreme form. And so those wars are a recent memory. And in this beautiful little Austrian town, Obendorf, which would have been probably covered in snow at that point, Joseph Moore was the local pastor, and he was planning the Christmas service for his congregation. Now, any pastor will tell you the Christmas service is kind of important. And one of the things we love to do at Christmas is we love to sing together. It's kind of, you know, a lot of people come just to sing and they just listen to the guy at the front because they feel like they have to. Sorry if that's you. But the problem is the organ in this little church was broken, and so they couldn't hold the normal Christmas service that they did every year. So as the story goes, this is one of those stories that's become a myth and a legend a little bit. So I can't vouch for the factual accuracy, but it's a good story. So Joseph went for a walk to try and decide what to do. And he walked up on a hill behind the town one evening, and as he looked out, he saw the city or the little town nestled in the hills, covered in snow with all the lights on, and he got the idea for a song. And so he went home, he wrote it out in poem form and thought, oh, maybe we could sing this. So we went to the town organist and he said, you know, can you compose a melody for this? It's something really simple that we don't need, you know, an organ for. We don't need any instrumentation. We can just sing with the voices. Now, the organist's name, no joke, was Franz Gruber. For any diehard fans, he got in first, to be fair. This is 1818, but that's just a fun factoid for you. But Franz composed a melody that was so simple it could be sung without an organ. And so that night on Christmas Eve, for the very first time, a congregation sang the words of Silent Night. But I just love that story because it's such a beautiful example of how, you know, organs break. Our proverbial organs break all the time. Things go wrong. Life gets hard. And so often our first reaction is just to get frustrated, to throw up our hands and to give up. But I think what the story of Christmas does, what Jesus does through his arrival, what the psalm does through its declaration, through its yelling that we should be still and know that God is God, is it invites us to choose to invite Jesus into the middle of the chaos. And recognize that sometimes the chaos doesn't go away. Sometimes it's out of our hands. But we can always choose to invite the Prince of Peace to be present in that moment. And we can experience the joy that comes from following him. So I thought it would be really fitting and fun for us to finish by singing together with no PA, with no guitar, and to sing Silent Night together. And in the midst of the absolute chaos that is outside... to choose to invite the Prince of Peace in here. So why don't we all stand together? I'm going to put the mic down for a moment. Jen's going to put the words up. And how do we get the tempo right? I might count us in just so we don't all sing at different speeds. So Lord, as we come to the end of our time together, as we celebrate your arrival, I just want to pray that for each one of us here, that over this Christmas, this New Year's period, that we would experience your peace. Lord, for the times that we've chosen to embrace the chaos rather than to invite you in, Lord, we just repent of those times. We just lean into your forgiveness and your love. And Lord, it's so hard. I know that there are so many different stories represented in this room, that every one of us has something slightly different happening in this moment, in this holiday period. But Lord, I pray for each of us that you would give us the strength to choose peace. The next year, if we do the same exercise, that we'd see that word peace written on there and go, you know what? This year has been madness. There's been so much happening. There's been pain. There's been joy. There's been happiness. There's been hurt. But there was always peace. And so I just want to pray that that becomes the story for all of us. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the Prince of Peace. Amen. 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 Thanks, friends. You guys did very well at singing Silent Night without any... I realized that we hadn't set a key when we started, so you all caught none very well. Friends, that's the official end of our time together for today. Feel free to stick around. There's heaps more coffee There's delicious shortbread. There's cookies, blueberries. There's no picnic. I mean, if you want to go have a picnic, you can go have a picnic. But I'm not going to be home to have a picnic. So do feel free to stick around. Say good day to someone you haven't met yet. And Merry Christmas, everyone. Bless you guys.
Wow, you made it to the end. Good job. If you want to listen to more of our messages, just search out Toowoomba Vineyard Church wherever you listen to the podcast. You can also check out our website at tvc.org.au and find us on Insta at Toowoomba Vineyard. We'll chuck those links in the notes so you don't have to remember. That's all for now. Hope you have an excellent week.